looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is Andy Thomas from the Masculine Journey podcast, where we discover what it means to be a wholehearted man. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
I have a friend who showed up here from L.A. He's an L.A. cop, and I'm trying to get him to call in right now. I think I'm going to introduce him because of what he does on the side. And I just started thinking about this. It might be great to have him just blab a little bit about what he does, because he speaks fluent Spanish, and he works with Oneness Pentecostal people and some others, and he's still here. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to just have him call in, because I think it would be worth having him on. Now, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. All you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. The last four digits spell C-A-R-M. That's carm.org, the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, carm.org. We've had a bunch of visitors over the years. We've had over 100 million, and we're working on a new site, and hopefully it'll be released in a couple of months. We've got thousands of articles we are converting. We're doing from one thing. It's like going from Ford to Chevy or vice versa, whatever. We have to really, you know, work all the parts to make it all work, and it just takes a lot of time. Now, as often is the case at the beginning of the show, we don't have that many callers, so I want you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'm going to do this really fast. Let's get on the air here with Luis. Luis, you're on the air. Are you there?
Hey, Matt. How are you? God bless you.
Long time no see. Just talked to him 1 minute ago. He's here in the house. So, Luis, we just did a bunch of videos, right? And I've been talking just a little bit, I don't know if you heard on the air, but you know, you're an L.A. cop, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. I am.
And what you do is, in ministry-wise, you work with Oneness Pentecostal quite a bit, don't you?
Yes, sir. Yep, that's what I do.
And, and you do that with in the Spanish community?
Yes, in the Spanish community. I do both, but Spanish mostly.
Yeah, so tell us a bit about what you do. I want to hear it, because I want people who speak Spanish, because a lot of people on the East Coast, we have a lot of stations on the East Coast, tell me what you do so that, and how they can contact you, because I'm going to say this, folks, I don't recommend too many people to do what they do, but Luis and I met in Colombia when he and I both flew down. We didn't know each other, flew down to the Spanish version of carmiapeak.org, Carlos Garbiras. And we did a conference. We spoke, Luis and I just hit it off. And so we've been in contact since we've been down there. And he finally came up, checking out Idaho and all that kind of stuff. And we just did two videos. So we'll talk about those videos we just did.
Okay. Well, first, my name is Carlos Reyes. I have, you know, three names, but call me Luis. That'll work.
We're breaking up. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're good right now.
Video on baptism, which is a very important point for Oneness Pentecostals, also on our nation. And what I do is I publish these on my channel. My YouTube channel is Mopar 440 HP. Yeah, I'm a car guy. Mopar 440 HP. That's my YouTube channel. And my ministry is a Spanish ministry. I've been doing it for 30 years. under Paul Cardin, who used to work at CRI, for a Spanish ministry called Centro de Investigaciones Religiosas. And it's called CIR, C-I-R. Not CRI, but C-I-R. And that's pretty much what I do. And I, my ministry is for Jehovah's Witnesses, Oneness, pretty much everybody. But there's a wide open field in the Spanish world, and there's a big need. And, you know, I saw that there weren't that many people that were doing it in Spanish. And my Spanish is not the best, but I said, you know what? I'm bilingual. I'll give it a shot. And the Lord has blessed it. And I'm very grateful for your show, Matt. You've taught me a lot.
Well, praise God. How many followers do you have on this that you do?
I think I have 34,500 or 30, maybe it's 35 now. I don't know. I haven't checked. Something like that.
All right. And what is it again for the YouTube? It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's MOPAR 440HP. If you just put that, you're probably going to get a whole bunch of car websites, but you'll see me there in my bald head. You can miss me.
Yeah, 440 is
440.
Yeah, 440 horsepower, right? Mopar.
Well, HP stands for high performance.
Oh, high performance. I thought it was Hewlett Packard. That maybe like the printers. That's a joke. So Mopar 440 HP.
Yeah, when I started my channel, it was just an experiment. I never knew it was going to go anywhere. And I was telling my son, "Well, we bought this."
Oh, we lost you. Tell your son what?
When I started the channel, I didn't know what kind of title to put it or what kind of name. So we just called it Mopar because, you know, we're a car guy.
That's all right. Yeah.
Can you hear?
Yeah. So,
it's been very well.
Yeah, that's good. And so what I'm recommending, folks, is if you have any Spanish people and Spanish friends who are into Jehovah's Witnesses and or Oneness Pentecostal, Oneness is something that denies the Trinity and adds works of salvation. Both are non-Christian cults. This is a guy in Spanish that you can go to, and he's here in America. Of course, we also have miapic.org. That's M-I-A-P-I-C, and that's in Spanish also. And that's the Spanish equivalent of the English CARM site. So that's it, man. I thought I'd get you on here and get you to do that. So
I'm
interested to see how the reaction is to the videos that we did. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, that's going to be very interesting. Matt just laid down some really awesome studies in Spanish, and it has not been out. I know, because I know a lot of stuff that's going out there in the Spanish community. And what Matt just laid out in these videos, these are going to have a huge impact. As a matter of fact, let me give you my email for anybody who wants to get in touch with me. It's LuisCreyes 440HP at yahoo.com. It's LuisCreyes 440HP at yahoo.com. That's my email. My Mopar is Mopar 440HP. And I also study the group La Luz del Mundo, the Light of the World, which is a very popular Mexican cult. And right now their leader is arrested in L.A. and is going through trial for charges of child abuse and sexual abuse on children. So that's a big thing. I published a book back in 2000. So I'm awaiting. You know, anybody that's affected by this group, you can contact me.
Good.
And that's it, my friend.
Okay. And if you guys want, if you can't remember all that stuff, just email me at info@carm.org and I'll forward the information to Luis. Okay.
And Matt, I want to thank you, Matt, for having us over.
No problem. Hey, you're awesome. And your kids are great too. But I tried to use some Spanish, but I'm not good enough to teach. But it was fun. It was fun, and I enjoyed it. So, yeah, you're good. You did well, man.
Amen.
You did well. All right. If you want to learn some theology, you can go to the carm.org website, carm.org. In the right-hand side of any page, you'll see a laptop, and it says online schools. And you can just click on that, and you can sign up for the schools. And if you want to know your theology, this is the place to do it. You can't go to seminary, you can't go to Bible college, you're not sure which book to read. I've been doing apologetics for 40 years and got thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of teaching and debating and things like that. And I've learned what needs to be taught in the basics, but not just so basic that you don't have any information. I mean the basics and some. And I put it into the schools in a logical order. And if you learn anything, go to that theology school. Go check it out. And you'll learn about the Trinity, the hypostatic union, communicatio idiomatum, justification, imputation. You'll learn about these things so you can know what the Christian faith is.
For more information about online schools, be sure to visit carm.org.
Thank you for listening to The Best of Matt Slick.
Take it away, Matt.
Let's get on the line with Oliver from Maine. Oliver, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, so my question is on 2 Corinthians 10:6. It reads, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. It's kind of a, honestly, I think maybe I should read 5 before it, because it kind of goes all together, if you'd like me to do that.
Sure.
It reads, when we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So I'm just wondering what the last, like, verse 6 kind of is stating.
Well, plerao in the Greek is complete, and it also means fullness. When it's completed, done, it's filled up. So I think what's going on, and I haven't studied this for a long time in this context, so what I'm going to say is, it looks like what's going on is the Corinthian church, which was pretty bad. The Corinthians were, let's just say, a little pagan in a lot of areas. And so planting a church there was, pushing a rock uphill. So it looks like, as you may know, in 1 Corinthians 5, a man was having relations with his father's new wife. I mean, the son was. And so they were doing this kind of bad stuff. So it looks like what Paul's doing is he's talking about they're ready to punish the disobedience to God whenever your obedience is completed. When you have done what's right and it's made in full, the disobedience of others will be taken care of. Now, it could be eschatological in the sense that on the day of judgment, but it could also be that the people in there who were doing bad things were going to be judged, and there's going to be a judgment upon them in their lifetimes. So I'm not exactly sure which one it would be.
So is that kind of like, if you can take, like, as you were saying that at the end, but could it also be like you're kind of saying, like, see if I can just kind of get my head around what you were saying. So basically, when they commit their life to Christ, kind of, then they're kind of punished for their disobedience. Is that one possible interpretation, kind of?
We, as Christians, we're out of condemnation, and there's no condemnation to judgment. Now, God will discipline us, and if we do something that's disobedient to God, a lot of times what he'll do is let us have our disobedience and the consequences that follow from that disobedience, and other times he will actively discipline us, and I've had both happen to me in my Christian walk. I've been disciplined by God. I remember some instances, and I'll tell you, I don't want to ever go down that road again. Mm-hmm. So it could be that what he's talking about there is that, even as Christians, we can be disobedient and God can deal with us, but he's so patient and so loving, as Romans 2:4 says, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. But sometimes if we just, we get stupid, which I like to confess that I've been stupid a few times in my Christian walk, pretty stubborn, pretty stupid. And God's taken me to task on a few things a few times. And praise God for that. So anyway, it could be that kind of a thing is going on there. But it could also be, like I said, that it's talking about that when all of the obedience is the Christians are taken care of in the end times, the disobedient are going to be taken care of in judgment. So it could be that.
Okay.
So we don't know the punishment that is there. It's difficult to kind of discern what it really is. It could be also that the Corinthian church itself was going to be disciplined by God for not acting appropriately.
Okay, I see. That makes sense.
Now, if you were to go to Revelation, starting, I think, around 3, chapter 3, you'll see the letters of the seven churches. And you'll find out that there's a punishment, there's some judgments that come to them. And yet they're Christian churches. So a lot of times what Christians think is that God has a wonderful, pleasant, lovely life ahead of for you. And it won't it'll just be just coddling and hammock time. That's not the case. Okay? When we disobey, he disciplines us. Not always, but sometimes he's just very patient, but he convicts. And there could be Christians who are not walking properly with the Lord, and he'll deal with them. And I had an old boss who told me a story about a guy he knew. And he said that the guy, you know, kind of went to church a little bit and was doing some stuff, wasn't really serious about the Lord, and he broke his back. And something happened, he broke his back. And so while he was recovering for 6 months, it was a pretty bad break apparently, he had to stay at home, he rededicated his life to the Lord and said, okay, thank you for that, and I'll make it through, etc. So he rededicated his life to the Lord, and 2 years later he was disobedient again. He wasn't really walking with the Lord. And so a second accident happened. He got his back broken a second time. And so at that point he said, okay, I'm listening. And he repented, he healed up, and everything was fine after that. Does that mean that's what God's going to do with everybody? No, but with that guy, it took a broken back twice to get through his thick skull. So, yeah, I had God discipline me about something once, and the thing that he used to this day, this was like 35 years later, to this day still makes me just a little bit apprehensive when I, you know, come in contact with the same kind of thing that used to happen back then. Like, okay. Yeah. So God has his way. God has his way of communicating to us. Okay?
I gotcha.
I think that's what's going on in the Corinthians. All right, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. God bless. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
All right.
So where are you at? I'm calling about Luke 13. Verses 23 and 24.
Okay, Luke 13, 33 or 23?
23.
23, okay.
And 24.
23, 24. And some said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Yep. Okay.
And what I'm wondering is, what is the straight gate? You have to strive, which means effort. Yet everybody says, well, we don't work our way to heaven. So,
well, he's teaching.
What in the world is the straight gate?
He's teaching in Israel. And he's talking to, this is something that people don't understand, and they forget is a contextual requirement in interpreting a lot of what Jesus says. And this is the covenant community of Israel. So a covenant is a pact or an agreement between two or more parties. And so what Jesus is doing is he came to the earth because of the covenant, the intertrinitarian covenant between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to redeem, and the covenant with Israel to provide a redeemer, and that Israel's job was to promote, was to recognize and promote the Messiah. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 15:24 to the woman who wanted him to heal, he said, you know, I don't throw the crumbs to the dogs and things like this, because that's a term for Gentiles. He said, because he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was not sent to the whole world. Jesus was not sent to save the world. Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, he said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is what Jesus said. Because Israel broke the covenant, then we, the Gentiles, are then grafted in. And the prophecy of Genesis 12:3, when God said to Abraham, in you all the nations shall be blessed, which is quoted by Paul in Galatians 3:8 as being the gospel. Okay, having said that, if we understand that the people of Israel walking, following Jesus, walking on the hills, listening to him speak, are covenant people. They are the Jewish people who are born under the covenant. The males had been circumcised as a covenantal act. The females were counted in the males, and this was a thing of federal headship and representation. They believed that the covenant of God in the Pentateuch with Abraham, with David, was never to be broken. They believed in the covenant. So in this mindset, it says, seek to find the narrow gate, because few are going to be there who find it, What he's doing is speaking to them and saying, you should already know, just as Jesus said in John 3 to Nicodemus, you're a teacher of Israel, you don't know these things. You're responsible to know what the Old Testament has already said. So he's saying here, there are few who are being saved. There's only a few. And he says, strive to enter the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter, but will not. They're seeking to enter in a covenantal understanding of who God is as they would serve the God of Israel. They want to do what is right before God, but they're not going to enter in. And the reason they're not going to enter in is, and there's different reasons, I can get to some of the other stuff, is because they're not seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. Many are going to want to get to heaven, but won't make it. Just like the Mormons, for example. They want to make it to heaven, but they're not going to make it because they believe in a false God, a false Christ, and a false gospel. The Catholics want to make it to heaven, but they're not going to make it if they believe the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church on salvation, because it's damnable heresy. And so, as we know that many groups and people want to make it, they're trying, but they're not going to because they don't trust in the true Christ, the true gospel. So this kind of thing is going on. Okay?
Okay, what it seems to me to be saying is there's a lot of people who are walking the fence, and most of them fall to the left.
Yeah, most of them fall to the left. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's reason for that, too.
I just want to look at straight.
All right, we got it, buddy?
Yeah.
We got a break coming up. Okay?
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right, man. God bless, Scott.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
And I believe that the pastor should preach in such a way that what they need to do is fix it in their pulpits so that when they speak, those who are regenerate, those who love the Lord Jesus, those who are redeemed will resonate with the truth of God's word. And those who are there to be babysat, to be coddled, and to be comforted, and get their bank accounts expanded, and be taught that they are worthy of great things because they're children of God. They're worthy of it. Those people will fall away. They will leave a church that would focus and preach the Word of God. And I would even go so far as say any pastor that's not doing that right now will be held in judgment by God. Any pastor who's preaching to make the church comfortable so unbelievers can come in is going to be judged by God. Now, that's a hard thing to say. Is that what Jesus did? Is that what Paul the Apostle did? Did they preach in such a way that people were made comfortable to get unbelievers to comfortably come in and they could fill the seats? Is that what they did? No, it's not. What they did was they simply preached the truth and they called the Christians to action, to make disciples, to live for Christ, to learn the truth. This is what the preaching is for, the believer.
This has been a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's look at to Beriel from Durham, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is about Mark 5, about verse 21, when Jesus raised the little girl from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, why did he tell the people that the girl was asleep, but then she was actually dead?
Because sleep was a phrase that was used to describe death, because when someone's asleep, they look dead, and when they're dead, they look asleep. And in John 11:15, he says, now Jesus spoke, speaking of Lazarus, he says he's fallen asleep. And they said, well, if he's fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he was speaking of literal sleep. That's John 11:13. So it's just a way of speaking, she's asleep. That's all. She's not really gone. She's still alive, still there, and it was just a way of using the phraseology. Okay?
Okay. All right. I have one more quick question in Mark as well, if you can.
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Can you answer one more in Mark?
Okay, sure.
This one is Mark 10, and it starts about 29 through 31.
Okay.
Where Jesus is saying that no one who has left their home or whatever people have lost for the gospel they'll receive 100 times as much in the present age. What does he mean by the present age? Because it says in the age to come, they have eternal life. So I'm trying to figure out when is the present age?
There are two ages spoken of in the Bible, two main ages, this age and the age to come. It is the eschatological division that Paul uses, Peter uses, Jesus uses. And there's two ages, this age and the age to come. In this age, we'll have tribulations, famines, we have problems, and the age to come, eternal life, there's no marriage, and things like that. And it's just the division that the Bible uses, which you will probably never hear spoken of in pulpits. I don't know why, but this is the case. I've never heard anybody speak about these things, and it's right there in Scripture. Mm-hmm. I think it's because a lot of people grew up under denominational influences and just keep adopting these things, don't study them. That's my opinion. So that's all that is, just the age. And then the question is, what happens at the end of this age? And then it gets very interesting when you study that.
Okay.
All
right. So does the return of Christ that marks the...
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
The return of Jesus that marks the next age, when we receive the fullness of... I mean, we have eternal life right now, but I'm guessing...
Yes.
I'm guessing that when Jesus returns, that's the next age to start. So whatever you've lost now, you'll receive while you're still alive.
Well, yes, but you know, when you talk about a lot of the positive confession people, the name it and claim it, prosperity people, they'll use this verse to say, you'll receive 100 times as much right now. So if you sow $1,000, you get 100 times that much. And that is sorcery, and it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus doesn't say what you'll receive. I would rather receive not houses and homes. If I want to receive anything from God, if he said, Matt, you can have whatever you want, I would want something like, Lord, make me one of the best preacher teachers of your word around, so that I could communicate his truth. That's what's important. Not, well, I want five houses and have my friends to have five houses. That's materialistic idiocy. What I want...
Right. I think God is the only person I know that spoke anything into existence. But I hear that phrase a lot, especially Southern Baptists. I hear that a lot about speaking stuff into existence. But I thought it said speak things that are not as if they were.
Yeah, they're Gnostic. Like they're Gnostic / Christian heretics who could not exegete their way out of a wet paper heresy. They don't understand what's going on. And I would love to be able to go to a conference and tell the truth to people about what the Word of God says. But I would need bodyguards, because I wouldn't want to be accosted and attacked by the Christians who don't like what I say. I'd go in there and overturn.
That's why
overturn.
I wanted clarity about it. I wanted some, because I didn't understand exactly what that meant. I was thinking, well, maybe if you lost a mother, maybe God would give you a spiritual mother or someone else to fill in the gap or something like that. But, you hear a lot about name and claiming, which is like New Age stuff, really.
Well, notice what it does say. But notice what it does say. But you will receive 100 times as much now in the present age. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children's and farms with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. Well, wait a minute. Oh, you can speak all this. But it says persecutions are going to come. And mothers. What is going on with Jesus saying this? It's not just a simple thing of materialism, which is humanistic idiocy. Humanism has crept into the Christian church. Give me, give me, give me. I need a hammock and some big diapers. Can someone change me? Because I don't want to pick up the cross and follow after Jesus Christ. I want to be comforted, and I deserve it because I'm a child of God. And this pride, this arrogance, which leads to apostasy, is growing in the Christian church. And there needs to be conferences where people speak the truth about God.
People are waiting for those things, and then when they don't happen, they're like, oh, well, see, this is all a load of baloney because I didn't receive whatever it is I thought I was going to get. Yeah.
Look, if I were teaching at a conference and I had to give the gospel message, what I would do is I'd say, here's the law. Don't lie, don't steal. If you've lied and you've stolen, you're under judgment. The gospel is that Jesus did the law perfectly, and he died on the cross, bear our sins, and if you trust in him. The third part is you better count the cost, because Jesus says you better count the cost of what it is you're going to get into. He says, pick up your cross and follow after me. I've actually said to people, when I've witnessed, I said, now that you want to receive Christ, let me talk you out of it. And they look at me and they go, what? And I said, now what I'm saying is, I'm joking here. I want you to believe, but I need to tell you the other side of the coin here. God will take you as you are, but he won't leave you as you are. It might be that you're going to lose friends and family members. It might not be. It might be that he's going to require of you to live for him, not for yourself. Now, right. I remember teaching it to somebody and who actually said at that point, well, then I don't want to become a Christian. Well, then don't become a Christian, because if that's the case, then you're not becoming a Christian for what Christianity is, but for what you want it to be, to satisfy your own earthly pleasures and desires. And this is rampant in the Christian church, which is another reason why I say that preachers and teachers should be preaching to thin the church out. What I mean is, preach the whole counsel of the Word of God, preach the cost of the gospel as well. Not every single sermon right. has to be that, but it needs to be part of the truth message. And because people who don't want the truth are going to go have their ears tickled someplace else. And we're either going to have the church purified
by...
Yeah,
and then you end up with the church filled with people that... I think my old pastor told me, he said, if you've got 1,000 members, but only 3 or 4 of them are actually saved, your church is only 3 or 4 members strong.
That's right.
And everybody else is there, and hopefully... You know, there's more that will come, but you're laboring for that other 996 people to come, you know. But people don't want to hear that. They want the doors to be filled, and they're worried about what people think and trying to progress the position. And I was just reading that in Mark about the disciples arguing about, you know, who was the best and all that. And I was just like, interesting. But, yeah, that's what's going on today.
That's what's going on today. That's right. All right. Well, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good one.
God bless. Now, before we get to the next callers, I just want to say, folks, God's going to purify the church. There's two ways. One is through the preaching and the teaching of the people who are given the responsibility to open God's Word and speak out of the truth of God's Word. That will thin the church out. It will purify the church. Or, if they don't do their job, then God will do the job with persecution. And that will be the means that God uses to purify the church. And along with the purification of the members of his congregation, he will discipline the false teachers who are not preaching and teaching to purify the body of Christ and to equip them for the work of ministry. They're going to be held, we are going to be held, to a higher standard. Speak the truth. And let the truth do what it will in the hearts and the minds of people. It will cause division. People will leave and people will stay. The people who leave, let them go. The people who stay, teach them and equip them for the work of ministry so that they can expand the kingdom of God through the preaching and the teaching of the gospel of Christ in truth, not in error. And there's a lot of error being taught from pulpits today.
Follow the Truth Network on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. We love to hear from you. We love to hear your feedback, your comments. You can also download our free mobile app at truthnetwork.com. We've gone digital, and we ask you to join us there. Thank you for your loyal listening to the Truth Network, and thank you so much for your prayers. Your prayers are what fuel this ministry forward to reach people with the truth of Jesus Christ. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Well, let's get back on the air with Dave from North Carolina. Dave, are you still there?
I'm here. Yeah, right. I am. Matt, how are you? It's a long, hot summer, and I am extremely patient. It's hot. I want to share something with you really quick before I even ask the question. It's been a great day. It really has. And I wake up a little early in the morning, about 4 o'clock every morning, in prayer and reading and studying. And I got some bad news about 2 of my best friends, back to back. Oh, my gosh. And one has stage 4 cancer, one has COVID-19. Okay, they've been hospitalized. But that aside, what I did was I got on my bike, and I've ridden my bike all day today. I'm a cyclist. And And I've used that to just praise God. And during that time, the 6 hours on the road, I want to call Matt. It's the first time I've ever called. And I'm not struggling, but I want your not advice. I want your guidance on, you know, I am a forgiven, repentant sinner. I know that.
Okay.
For many years. But it still keeps on coming back to me that I keep on hearing that, but on the day of reckoning, you know, I know my sins are forgiven, forgotten, East and West. I love that part. What I don't understand is that, you know, on the day of judgment, that they're recorded, they can be brought up again. And I'm saying, really?
Well,
I thought you said you forgot them all, and I've been forgiven.
No,
so why bring them up
after
all this time?
No, God can't forget, because if you forgot, it would mean he didn't know something that would violate his omniscience. The issue is that he will remember them no more. He won't bring them up again. So how do we balance this with the issue of reward and loss of reward? God, of course, knows all things, and he's given to every Christian gifts. And, you know, my gifting is different than your gifting. So you are not to be judged with the gifts that I have and how I did mine. Or didn't, and vice versa. Your responsibility is to do what you can with what God has given you, whatever that might be. And we could talk about that sometime on the show, how to discover your giftings, because there's a way to do that. But nevertheless,
I would appreciate that. I'm getting ready to retire, and I'm not going to retire until and I pray about this.
I'll tell you what. If you want, I can shift a little bit and tell you how to discover your gifts, what they are.
Okay.
And, you know, for everybody who's listening, I want you to hear this because it's true and it works. If you want to know what giftings you have before God, and you're gifted, because if you're a human being who's saved, you have gifts. What you do is you get on your knees and you ask God to reveal to you what he's already given you. You ask him, and you ask him frequently. And you ask him to show you what it is that you're gifted to do. What happens is God will answer your prayer, and he will put you in places where you have to speak the truth, build a chair for an old lady, cut someone's lawn because they can't do it themselves, give money to them because of whatever, get on your knees and pray for them. Our giftings are so different, and they vary according to people and circumstances. A lot of time what people think is the gifting they have to have is, I got to be on TV, that's the gift. No. What the gift is what you have internally as you use them in the areas that God has placed you. And you'll find that the things you want to do will manifest. And some people, like I know guys who are great at, this is not my gifting, but I've got friends who've come over to my house and have helped me move stuff around the house and pack things and do stuff. That's not my gifting. I have a bad back. I can only work for 1 to 2 hours before it starts seizing up, and I have to sit down. It's just, I'm born with it. Well, these guys will do stuff that I can't do that way. And I'll even say, Matt, we love you. Sit down. Let us lift this. And I want to be a man and get out there and do it. So their gifting is in of many areas. Joe and Cameron and Nathan, these are friends that I have that will do this kind of a thing. And it's comforting to know that I have friends who have that gifting. My gifting is to be able to call them heretics and make fun of them while they're working for me and helping out. And so, you know, we have these different gifts, and we manifest them differently, and we can apply the same gift in different ways. So what people have
Matt,
to do
I think
is,
my prayer has already, yeah, I don't mean to be disturbed or interrupt you, but to listen to speak to you, this is just a affirmation. I think my prayer has already been answered. Because I think I was looking for a bigger gift, but my gift, I mean...
What's a bigger gift? What's a bigger gift? Seriously, I'm on the radio talking to thousands of people.
Is
that a bigger gift than you helping the lady across the street do the things she can't do because she sold it. Which is a bigger gift? There's no way to measure.
No, that's a gift of love, and that's the way I am with my friends, family, everybody I've known, but I took it that for granted, because that's just, I'm innately born that way. I am a giver. And
well, good, you can move over next to me and help me out then. I'd like that. That'd be good.
I'll come up and move your furniture anytime.
It's only across the country.
That's all I've got to say. Well, it's hot down here. Thank you for that. It's been a great day. It really has, and this has just been the icing on the cake.
Good. Well, praise God, man. Good, praise God. Hope that helped you. Okay.
You did. Take care, Matt.
All right, Dave. God bless.
Bye bye.
Okay. You know, I'm going to continue on this a little bit. I have a saying: trust and go. Trust God. Move forward. Now, don't be stupid. You know, I'm going to trust God to catch me when I jump off this building and go down 10 stories. No. You know, if God calls you to do something, it's on your heart, then move in that direction. What I would suggest you do is, if you have something you want to do that you're thinking about, you haven't told anybody, pray about it and ask God to increase it if it's from Him, and decrease it if it's from you. Because you know, I have certain desires, and I regularly pray, Lord, if this is from you, increase it. If it's not from you, decrease it. And I'll notice things will decrease in a lot of areas. But the things I want to do in different ways, He increases. And it's because of His gifting. It doesn't matter what it is. So you have to trust God, but you have to do. You can't just sit. You have to take chances and try and help somebody, whatever it might be, because maybe you might help somebody and find out, well, I do not like doing this. It might not be your gifting. And you find something else to do. And then after a while, you say, wow, I cannot believe that I really like going to the bread stores, getting a bread that's a little bit old and taking it to the homeless shelter. I love doing that, if that's what you like to do. And you might not know that, you know, if you didn't try. But then you might try that and say, that's not for me. Okay, then it's not for you. Try something else. But what we do is we move forward in our giftings. That's what we do. Move forward so that God can be glorified as you trust Him to reveal to you what He wants you to do.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick Live. For more great content like this, or to donate to the ministry, be sure to visit carm.org. You can also catch Matt Slick Live every weekday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Truth Network app and YouTube.
This is the Truth Network.